a reminder, December 14th, we're doing our Christmas party. You all are invited. It's Wednesday night. Ugly Christmas sweater. Bring your best sweater that you got that is ugly. And it's a charcuterie board. I'm doing ribs. I know people might be doing snacks, but I'm going to do some ribs and baby back ribs. But just want to show this off because you said he's your son-in-law. Have made this for us. It's got the nunneries on there engraved. Nice little charcuterie board. So that's what it looks like. Not a trash can lid. Although that would, you know, you can call that ratatouille or something, but you know, so it's all good. Thank you for that. That's a very good gift. Oh man, I just enjoyed worship this morning. That was good. God is such a healer. We're in a season where, you know, some people might have a hard time when it comes to Christmas, even the past holidays, because of family and friends and things of that nature, just heartaches that they have basically experienced over the past. But I just want to continue to encourage you to stay strong. I mean, that's always a good time to not to just look back at it, but to rejoice that you're still here. You're still alive and well. You have your health, and if you don't, let's get you healed. Because our God is a healer. So if there's people in here today, right now, and I know I wanted to do this towards the end, but I just feel impressed by the Lord to do it today. If you're suffering from anything, if you can be bold about it, just stand on that. I believe the Lord wants to heal you. It doesn't matter what it is. You got back problems, headaches, migraines that just won't go away. Neck problems. Hip problems. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Irritable bowel syndrome. Acid reflux. This is what I want you to do. Wherever it's at. In your body, I just want you to put your hands on it. Father God, we speak healing in their bodies right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you that you have bore their sicknesses and diseases, Lord. We thank you that every bone is healed. We thank you for every ear isn't functioning the way it should, that it does function, Lord. We thank you for your healing power from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, Father God, just burning in them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we are expectors of your great grace, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen, amen. The title of my message today is Rejoice, because He is a good Father. Not other religions can say that about their so-called gods, but we have a God that is above all. There's no comparison. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We operate in the power that is unmatched. Rejoice means to be joyful. It means to jump for joy. When was the last time you actually jumped for joy? For God, not for things, but for God, because of who He is. If you were in your car, you may have jumped or you may have bounced a little bit, you know, just. But when was the last time you just, God, you're such a good guy. All these things coming against the Lord, but yet you protected me. Not because you just got a raise. That's easy to do. Not because, you know, your children may have graduated from college. That's great. Not because you've got that new company car, that promotion or what have you, or, you know, you got that clean bill of health. But when was the last time you just rejoiced because he was a good father? Rejoice in the Lord. But what happens when you don't get that raise? Do you still rejoice? What happens if you don't get that clean bill of health? Will you still rejoice? What happens if your kids don't graduate from college? Maybe you were expecting to do that and it got put on hold because now you got to take care of that family member. And it's basically been put off indefinitely. Can you still rejoice within that? What happens when you get the bad news and they say, well, you know, your lungs are still strictly restricted severely. Can you still rejoice? You can. You can rejoice in him always. Always. Now, there are times where we shouldn't rejoice over certain things, and I'm going to get to that. But here's the thing. Don't harp down on that when I talk about it. Psalms 118, 24, if you got your Bibles turned there. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says this, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will what? And be glad in it." We will. It's a proclamation. We will rejoice. There's no other option. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. You got to turn to your neighbor and say, we will rejoice. It's almost like saying, you know, when you lay, if you've been cooking, husband or wife, there's some men that cook in the, raise your hand if you're the cook in the family, men. God bless you. God bless you.
We got a liar.
Always them too, I'm telling you. Good night. Y'all really want to see an act? You can come on Wednesday nights. My goodness. Randy just be telling on himself. But even when you lay down the food, hey, you will eat it. And you will like it. The word day could mean when God laid this cornerstone of the New Testament church, or it could also mean the whole age of grace where believers are to rejoice and be glad. Day can sometimes mean an extended period of time. Not just one day. It's an extended period. 1 Thessalonians says, New King James Version says, rejoice always. Next version says what? Always be joyful. Next, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Passion Translation says, let joy be your continual feast. The Message says, be cheerful no matter what. He's given you some options here. He's given you these things, but it never changes. Your circumstances may have changed, but guess what? We serve a God that will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's telling us to rejoice. Always. He said, jump for joy. Some of the time or all the time? All the time. Only when we feel like it? Always. When everything is going good? Always. Put just on my payday. It's payday. I get to go buy some new shoes. And always. Now, there are times when we shouldn't rejoice. This is what I'm saying. I'm just letting you know. Don't harp down on this one. I've talked about it before. I'm just reiterating something here. In James 4, says this. You got that one? Yeah. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. No, you got James 4? James 4, 7 through 10. It says, so humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. So there is a time where we're not supposed to rejoice. That time is when, if we ever get to that place, and I know nobody in here does, but when we do start coming against our neighbor, that's not a time to rejoice when we've wronged them. This is what he's saying. That's the time to humble yourself before God and resist the devil. We don't rejoice over people's not putting a curse on people. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I would rather continue to be a blessing for other people rather than a curse. Amen. He's talking about the people who scheme and jealously want what they can't have. He's telling this guy, humble yourself before God, resist the devil and he will flee from him. And he says, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. But his word says to rejoice always, Pastor Tim. Not in this instance. That makes sense, right? Evil people will rejoice over doing something evil. You are not evil. The offender. We don't rejoice if we've been the offender, the persecutor, the bully, the Satan, Satan's advocate. And seeing some people want to be lifted up in honor. You can't be lifted up in honor if you haven't humbled yourself before God. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, moving on. Why is he talking about this? I said, because the Lord just keeps prompting me to. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13. Turn over there. It says, it's talking about love. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Or you can say it does not compromise with evil. But in Psalms 5:11, it says, but let all those who rejoice put their trust in you, God. Put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. If you place your trust in the Lord and not in man, not in government or in this world system, that's a reason to rejoice. Your trust is in God. Jeremiah 17:5 says this, cursed is the man who put their trust in man. We put our trust in God. Now, you may trust some people, but your true trust should be in the Father and in his word. Because sometimes, listen, even the devil can pose as an angel of light. And he can twist scripture in every which way to get you off of what the word of God says. To get you testing God. Our trust is in the Lord and in his word. Let them ever shout for joy. This is verse 11, because you defend them. You rejoice because God defends you. But not only that, he saved you. Not only that, he protects you. Not only that, he gives you the ability to get wealth. Not only that, he avenges you. Not only that, he will sustain you. Not only that, he will heal you. Not only that, he has forgiven you and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And not only that, he has redeemed you. And here's the thing, the list goes on and on and on. We rejoice because he is a good father. And what has man done for you? Oh, I remember. 30 years ago, they did this one favor for me. And now you believe that you owe them your life because of that one favor. And what ends up happening is we end up showing more loyalty to a man than we do to God. You don't have to do that. Trust in him. Verse 12 says, let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround them as with a shield. The Lord will bless the righteous. And here's a little taste of how he blesses. In number 6 says this, 6:22 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall be blessed, the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Y'all can say this with me. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. The Lord will bless the righteous. And if you are born again, you are righteous, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did for you. Favor will surround him as a shield. You may be look like you. My mother-in-law's favorite song was Surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. When the enemy is attacking and it just seems like there's no way you can go, God is surrounding your enemy. Look up. All of God's army is around you. Just one angel can wipe out a whole army. And he's got all these angels surrounding your enemy. Listen, favor ain't fair. And God's favor is upon his children. So why on earth would I want to operate in a curse when his blessing is so much better? His rewards are so much better. You're going to get more out of life than you ever had before. But guess what? At the same time, you're going to get a little bit of the evil that's going to come your way. But guess what? He's surrounded. Your enemies. They're under your feet. See, when Satan came to test Job, he needed God's permission. Satan says this in Job 1:10. He says, have you not made a hedge around him, around his house and all that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and increased his land. God's favor on your life can be limitless if you continue to place your trust in him. You put your trust in yourself and what people can do for you. You start limiting what he can do. We serve the same God that Job served. And he didn't even know he had an enemy. But yet, he didn't waver. So my question is to you, have you ever wavered? And if you had, everybody has doubts. Everybody has some unbelief that may come up. That's natural. I believe that is natural. But we don't ever have to waver that God is a good God. We don't ever have to waver out of his promises. And when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you don't have to worry about that because he ain't going anywhere. We never waver because he's a good father. But sometimes we may put restraints on our belief of what our father can do in our lives because for whatever reason, we won't fully trust him. What area are we not fully trusting him? And our finances? And our future? Our kids' future? I love my kids, but they're part of my future. But I trust God to help me with their future. To direct it. One of the most difficult times, I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. Number 1 is probably what I went through with my dad. But the second one, was when the Lord told me, hey, your time is up, when I was coaching. The head coach at that time, he ended up leaving. They didn't renew his contract. And the Lord said, you're done. I remember just like yesterday, because I was in Kansas City with waiting for Isaiah, because they were playing a tournament, and I got the call from the coach saying, I'm retiring. I'm resigning. I said, whoa. And I was talking to another coach from McPherson there. I said, coach is getting ready to retire. Resign and what have you. I was like, man. And so, as I'm driving back, the Lord said, you're done too. So I get back and I talk with him. He saw me and we went and talked in his office and stuff, and he was there, and then the new head coach was in the room, and everything was cool. Everything was fine. And then they were even trying to, the new coach was like, man, if you want to be on our staff, you can. I said, I can't do it. The Lord already told me I'm done. Even the athletic director, if you want to stay on, you can. I can't. Now, I wasn't looking for a way out. Man, if somebody ends up telling me I can stay, I'm going to go ahead and stay and act like nothing. But see, God would know, and I would know. Nobody else knew, but I had to stay faithful because I had to trust in the Lord. And that was one of the most difficult things, because of the fact is I wanted to coach my boy. But I had to stay faithful, and I had to put my trust in him. Lord, I'm trusting you in this. There's one time I told him, I said, listen, coach, I thought God brought me here to help you win state. In the first 2 years, we went to state. He hadn't been there in 10 years. First 2 years, we go to state. I said, but he redefined it, and he said, I was supposed to help you with your walk. And that's what I'm going to do. So when he was done, I was done. And I had to accept that. As tough as it is, I had to walk away from that decision. Trusting in God isn't always easy at times, but he does leave you with this promise that he will never leave you. It will always be the right decision. It may not be something that you may not want right now, but later on, he's got something better for you. And I'm standing in it. If that didn't ask, I would just have people, man, you could be the head coach of the high school if you did. That's not what I'm called to do. You could be the first black. I don't ever think that way. I was the first black middle school coach. I don't think that way. I was thankful for the opportunity. If it helped pave the way for other people, God bless it. God will always be right there when you need him. So when you learn to fully trust in the Lord, not man, man is not God. I'm talking about making themselves God in a sense where they think they're just untouchable. I'm not saying I'm untouchable, but I know when I'm in a fight, I'm going to trust him. I can't trust in my own skills. I'm horrible at lying. Who can I tell? Who's going to roll with me and lie for me? No one. I know even in society, I said, and this is something I've learned just growing up, and that might be something I may have to leave out, but I know, and just in society in general, for a black man, they're going to believe a white man over a black man. So I tried to lie and got my tail whooped for it. There's one time when I was supposed to go to Illinois with a friend. I'm telling on myself now. And I told my mom they were getting, but he decided not to go. And his family ended up leaving, and we were outside shooting hoops the next day, and my mom comes driving by. I was like, oh, Lord. And then she goes, I thought you were supposed to leave for Illinois. I said, well, we decided to just, we were there, they were going to leave. The flight got canceled, and I never even flew before then. the flight got canceled, and so we're going to leave later on tonight. It's all right, because we had an airport. They can fly out the airport and stuff. So I guess that was believable. So I was like, dude, we can't go outside until after 3 o'clock, because that's when she leaves for work. So we just hung out, played video games all week and stuff until 3 o'clock, and then we were able to go out and do some things. And I'm talking about driving with no license. I mean, just doing all sorts of stuff, right? And then afterwards, a couple weeks down the road, our washing machine breaks. So my mom needs me to help her to go to the laundromat. And we're sitting in the car, and she goes, did you really go to Illinois? Just ask me a direct question. I said, I can't lie to you, Mom. No, I didn't go. Why do you say this? Why do you say you did? I said, because I didn't want to work. Pops was going to put me to work. All my friends are going on these vacations and stuff, and I have to work on. So needless to say, being a God-fearing man that my dad is, I probably got the worst punishment ever. And I'm talking about, some people call it spankings. We call it whoopings. When my friends were over at the house, they heard every last bit, but when I came out, they all cleared out. Talk about humility. That's why. So I learned a long time ago, yeah, this stuff isn't for me. When the enemy is coming at you at all angles, can you stay committed and submitted to God and keep on rejoicing in all circumstances? Now, if that's you, I want you to say, I can, and I will. I will rejoice in the Lord. With our true, genuine relationship with the Father, we can rejoice in the circumstances we face because we know we are not going at it alone. He is always there, and so is your family in the body of Christ. They're there for you. We don't do this walk alone, this journey alone. We need each other. We're getting ready to take communion later on today, but here's the thing. This is part of discerning the Lord's body. This is why you're here. If you keep ticking everybody off, who are you going to have with you to go on that journey? You could be messing with the wrong person, the person that God has sent for you to help you. So we have to be able to discern the Lord's body. And I'll leave you with this scripture here by King David, whom we all know was a perfect king, right? No, he wasn't, but he still loved God. Psalms 35, it says, this passage translation, it says, I've learned that his anger lasts for a moment, but his loving favor lasts a lifetime. We may weep through the night, but at daybreak it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy. Boy, that's so good. David was a man that was after his own heart. He had some flaws, just like you and I do, but you know what? He never stopped loving God. And God never stopped loving him. And we have a new and better covenant with him. So you can stop beating yourself up. You can stop getting all upset over that relationship that you had because it may have ended and all that other stuff. But you have to realize God still loves you. And he's never stopped. And he's got something better for you. People may stop loving you, but God will never stop loving you. You're not a failure because of it. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are able to just rejoice and be glad in it. And if there's anyone out here today that never received Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior, they want to do that today, just raise your hand real quick and we will pray with you. Is that a hand up in the back? No. Our usher needs to be born again. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.